Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Official Podcast. I'm your host, Jackson. We've also got Andrew. Charlie's here somewhere. Kai is also here. And this week, exclusively on The Official Podcast, nowhere else on the internet, we've got Mr. Sark. Mr. Sark, please introduce yourself.
I'm Mr. Sark. I have no idea what I'm doing here, but I'm hyped to find out. You may also know me, your listeners may also know me as Mr. Sack, Shrek, Stark is common, Sock, Shark is a big one. So just put Mr. in front of any of those.
Any misnomer of Sark and you've got it claimed, right?
Yeah. Sack is my favorite. Mr. Sack.
Sack's pretty good.
I'm glad that wasn't taken.
All right, so Mr. Damn it, Charlie.
No, we're gonna, I like how you and I always battle for the first question.
I'm going to take it because you had the first question last time.
Yeah, go
all
for
right,
it.
All right, Mr. Sack, I want to cut all the bullshit here. Ooh, I want to get straight to the meat of the issue. It says here on your one of your 600 different Wikia pages that you are afraid of Jamaicans because they're scary.
I have written down to ask you guys what it says on your that bullshit site, what it says for you. I just read through that and tweeted about it, and I think it's actually got more insane since I mentioned it. But that what happens is with that is they take the humanity takes everything, no matter how sarcasm laden, and it turns it into an encyclopedia entry. So I don't even remember. It totally sounds like a joke I would have made that I don't like Jamaicans because they're scary. I would have probably said something like they do voodoo, even though that's not even fucking Jamaica. But
it was a joke.
Well, yeah.
It sounds like it was a joke, like founded in truth almost. You still got a repressed.
Yeah. Those are the best jokes, though.
What you're really saying is you're a white supremacist.
You heard it here first.
I think
Mr. Shark confirmed for white supremacist.
Hold on. I'm looking at my fan page right now.
Just lost the coast.
Well, that kind of throws a wrench in my follow-up question, which was, what do you think is the scariest thing about Jamaicans?
They can easily hide, throwable sharp objects in their dreads.
That's not wrong.
It's not
Thank
at all.
Thank you.
That is accurate.
Oh, dude. Welcome to having your guys' wiki pages all jacked up now, because you're on board.
Joke's on you, I don't have a wiki page.
Yeah, welcome to the no Wikia page zone. Fucking Big Shot over here flexing. Oh, wait till your Wikia pages get hit.
Listen to the know your meme page talking.
Oh, fuck.
I'll tell you your meme?
Mm. Oh.
Did you know that?
Yikes. I didn't know that. Ooh. That's yucky.
How does that feel, Charlie?
That doesn't feel good.
At some point, I was trying to get to your YouTube channel, and I was like typing your name into the search bar like a fucking 9,000-year-old person. And one of the top results is a Know Your Meme page. I haven't checked it out, though. I bet it's juicy.
He's lying. He's the top contributor. Yeah, he goes there every day.
Edited by Mr. Shrek. I just to do some to let you guys know, I did a little bit of homework. My podcast listening went way down once I didn't work at Machinima anymore, so I didn't have a commute, right? Because it was like the commute was podcast time. So podcast listening now is done in 20-minute chunks as I pour canned soup into my face during editing breaks. And so I feel like I've listening to you guys and doing homework for this feels like the scenes in the movie where the dude's been drugged or knocked out and he's on the stretcher being rolled through the bad hallway and he keeps coming up for a sec. He regains consciousness and then he fades. So I've listened to little snippets of about 20 of your episodes and it's
good Lord.
Damn.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It's like a peek into madness. And then, 5 minutes before we start, Critical drops the bomb on. Critical, can I just call you Critical?
You can call me my real name. You can call me Charlie.
You can call me Critical.
I'll call you Charlie. Right before this, he drops the bomb. He's like, if you really want to know how, Skype messaged me. He's like, if you really want to know how this shit rolls, check out Pewds jerking off a cat sequence. I'm like, okay, I'm on it.
In my defense, I told him that we were approaching game time. He said he was stretching in the locker room and he was watching the answerings video we made. And I said, if he's trying to get a feel for what to expect, to watch that one, because we really dove into the heart-hitting topics right away.
Hey, if that didn't scare you off, I mean, usually we don't hear back.
Yeah. Once we send that bomb out there.
No, I think it's cool that like you get the like the guests that you've had. You have you've got a solid lineup, even though you guys are self-deprecating about it. It shows that there's like a lot of people watching you guys on the tubes. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, we do all right. Oh, you know,
sweet.
We try.
Wait until next
cool.
week. We've scheduled 4 big A-list celebrities. If you're watching this, DiCaprio, please message me back.
I thought you were gonna say only use me, Blade. Like,
oh my god. That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Mr. Sark's dwelling up the old internet now.
Oh my god.
Holy lord.
If I remember correctly, I saw like a Twitch clip of him a couple weeks ago where he got extremely drunk and some anime music played and he fell out of his chair and hurt himself. That poor man has fallen on the hardest of times.
But you're welcome to come on the podcast if you're listening. Only use me, Blade.
I've met him several times. He's a nice dude. But alcohol does some crazy things to you.
Oh, yeah. From what I've seen there. Yikes.
Yeah. That's after his ban for finger banging his asshole on his stream.
So he, really?
And Whoa. He rose from the ashes like a fucking phoenix after that. How many people can come back from that?
I mean,
it would have felt nice.
You nailed down the specific type of masturbation on stream. You had to let us know that it was that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Holy shit. Everyone who watched pretty much narrowed it. Had it narrowed down for them.
Was it asshole cam?
Yeah, was
anything's an asshole cam if you like bend over far enough.
But wait, so he was doing it right into the camera?
Yeah, it was like a donation challenge, you know. I'm forgiving it.
Okay,
guy.
That's
like,
respectable then.
$20,
I'll do a speed run of Mario, and $50, I'll finger bang my asshole. It's
when,
a logical
when was
progression.
This? Was this like in the wild, wild west of Twitch in the before times when they didn't ban you for smiling?
No. This was like, I don't remember exactly, but I would say a year ago.
But, huh.
No, that's recent.
Yeah.
That is pretty
I'm surprised
recent.
He wasn't executed by Twitch's assassins.
Well, he got banned, but he came back.
Were Twitch clips integrated before then? Because we might have a spicy clip or two we could put on the front page now.
I don't think so. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something, but. The response to this, by the way, reminds me, let me just do a callback to my homework I just did. During your guys' Ask Us Questions episode, you were asking each other one of the questions was, what's your favorite of your episodes? And Charlie says he likes the pudes jerking off a cat, which I thought was like funny. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to check that out. But then Kaya came in with, it's nice to know that he's human. That's Kaya's response to finding out somebody cranked a cat. It's like, oh, thank God. They're just one of us. They're normal.
Well, that leads into my next question really well, Mr. Sark. What's the weirdest thing you've ever jerked off? I like that you have to think about it.
Yeah. Well,
he's not human.
Usually that question is where, but what? I don't know.
Okay. We'll broaden it. The best masturbation story you have, please enlighten us.
The most fucked up.
I was desperately trying to suck my own, as I'm sure many of us have at some point.
Oh,
like lost brothers.
Match made in heaven.
And I was furiously like trying to. I looked like a sped up footage of somebody trying to jack up their car when it got a flat. Like just. Just cranking this in hopes that somehow it would like I'd gain inches from somewhere. I don't know like what the reasoning was, but I finished in like basically mid effort and blasted myself right in the eye.
Ooh.
And was like fucking disgusted. By this, I was like, ah, like screaming, and I'm in the bathroom, like doing like a rinse, and my eye turned red, like some shit out of Resident Evil, which I was fucking unexpected. I didn't know that was like a side effect of it. Then I was wearing sunglasses in the house, and my wife is like, "What are you doing?" And it's like,
"Oh, why?
You were married when
you were like 12.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Well, that was the most recent attempt. There's been a few over the years to see if there's maybe a chronology. Things have limbered out. Yeah, yeah.
There's sagas of this.
I think that was the final chapter, I'm going to say, because...
Well, let's leave it open.
Your wife's in the other room, and you were like, oh, no, I don't want to bother her. Yeah, I'll just do it myself.
And she, to this day, doesn't know why I was wearing sunglasses or why my right eye turned into fucking zombie face. But there it is. Now it's out there.
Well, now she will.
Now it's
official. Now that's how you do a plot twist right there. You lead us in under this pretense that you were a young boy, and then it comes out. It was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, not long ago.
We really appreciate the honesty, though. Andrew just pretends like he dinges in his own mouth.
I mean, it happened.
Andrew has successfully sucked himself off. He used the ancient wall climbing technique.
What?
Yeah. For a boy who does his homework,
don't
you seem to not listen to
Don't tell me
our...
a new technique. Don't put me back on the fucking... Don't put me back in, coach.
Well, this is as old as time itself.
For someone who seems to do his homework, I don't think you listened to our earlier episodes, because we had like a whole, what, half hour? Okay. That discussion.
All right. Yeah, we'll see.
Do you even know
I'll
about
go back and listen
poster?
To it. Your poster?
Yeah.
No. Is it your burgers? Or burgers?
Oh, he's on to
he
something.
About the burgers.
It's, am I close?
He's playing two. Guess Who? No. Does this meme have burgers? No.
But speaking of burgers,
Charlie.
He's already familiar with it. It's going to lose its effect.
Well, but, no, still tell him.
Irrelevant.
No, still going to tell him.
No, well, he's read Know Your Meme. He might know the whole thing.
No. The joke is best laid for the unexpected opponent. I think it's better if we try and enlighten him. Now, he may have fallen off the wagon with sucking his dick off, but if Andrew could tell him the technique, maybe he can achieve his boyhood dreams.
Nice reflection there.
Yeah, give me the bullet point, like the airline safety card version.
I mean, the only thing is, so what was, were you going for the old classic scooping over where you just like sit on the edge of your bed and try to tuck your knees into your face?
Yep. The letter C.
You're doing the poor man's technique, because if you're poor and have a tiny dick, it's never going to work. The only way
didn't.
That you ever, yeah, the only way that you ever achieve true results, if you're a normal human,
true zen.
Is
get
you
rich.
You want to lay on your back and flip your legs onto a wall and walk down.
Lay on my back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're writing this down.
Flip my legs. I'm just picturing it. Okay.
It's dictating it. Dictating
okay.
it to his
that
okay,
is the
I
successful
that.
Technique. That is what actually
wait,
works.
Wait, but if you walk down the wall, wouldn't you be flat? Wouldn't you be lying flat on the ground?
No. Okay, you put your head against the wall or a little distance, depending on your height, and then you flip your legs over yourself and walk. You want to basically walk the load into your own tuchus or mouth or whatever.
That's a whole other stretch you're describing there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Go, you need a real small tuchus. Room if you're going to be walking
I messed
down
up my
wall.
Jewish slang.
All right. Shit, I might be back in action. I might be back on the leaderboards in a little while.
I can send you some reading material.
Yeah, I need to do some yoga first, though. I'll probably, that sounds like I'll end up a paraplegic if I...
I mean, to not dive back into the whole entire story, I accomplished this when I was around, like... I think 13
your wife,
or
okay.
12.
Your wife finds you in the bathroom with a snap neck wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Sunglasses from previous failed attempts.
Yeah. Oh, she's used to like all kinds of wacky shit happening around here. So
that transcends wacky.
So that's normal
too. She
Tuesday,
never told you it stings like a motherfucker if you get it in your eye?
No. No. Oh. I just thought it was like...
That's no friend.
No, I just
that's actually surprising because when you do make that mistake, you never hear the goddamn end of it. Let me tell you, I'm surprised she had that restraint not to bitch at you for half.
Yeah,
an hour.
No, I was like, no, it's no problem, but it is a problem, and I hated it. So doesn't mean I'm not going to do some wall climbing though.
Make sure your harness is intact. Your
Keep
belayer.
Us updated. Yeah,
your belayer needs to be set and prepped. Make sure your counterweights are tied on right.
Your lifting belt.
Be sure to stretch beforehand and hydrate between sessions.
Yeah. She comes in, it just looks like a weird bondage, like bungee cord puzzle.
Honey, I'm so glad you're here. Pull that lever.
then leave. Shut the door behind you.
And pretend you never came in.
I'm like shoot, a Miley Coyote contraption.
Just a Spider-Man
skit. Yeah, one of those Rube Goldberg things.
Yeah, Instead of the Roadrunner, he's trying to catch his own dick.
The Rube Goldberg machine, and instead of making him breakfast, it puts his dick in his mouth.
God, this is the last official podcast.
We're not topping this.
And we're
this
almost
20 minutes of self dick sucking. This is a like, this is some quality shit. I love it.
We're already like a quarter way through. Isn't this just a breeze? I don't know how they do it.
I
know how fucking Joe Rogan does it. I watched an episode of his recently. He had on two guys who I don't really listen to. I don't really know who they were, like Jordan Peterson and some other guy. But what I did notice is he basically just sicked them on one another. Not in a bad way. They just had a conversation. But over the course of 3 hours, this is live streamed, by the way, Joe maybe said like 15 words. And you just let them talk. And that's a brilliant formula. We need to do this. We need to invite two guests and then just silently sit there and make money.
what a great idea.
I mean, you say that, but he's making millions off the idea.
But he gets like the upper tier celebrities to come on. So people tune in to get some spicy
Jesus
dirt.
Christ. I mean, yeah, he had like two brainiacs on that were just talking important political shit, but you know, I mean, I don't know.
And he can carry if he needs to. Like, he's a good host.
He can,
so it's,
oh no, I'm not trying to shit on him. I'm just saying that
there's
specific
no doubt
episode
in his actual ability in do what he does.
He's just got a good strategy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to imply like he got lucky or something, or where he was he found a con. But in that
I'm forgiving of the con as long as the host can like, you know, has the skills to pull it off. But when you run across the people that's like the whole bit, then it's like, why are you even on? Like,
yeah,
you
no,
seem a little extraneous.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like his podcast.
So do
it's very interesting.
So does most of iTunes.
The 20 minute soup bits that I listen to are enjoyable.
I could actually, Andrew, I was going to send you this. Like, you know how the good old God doesn't exist circle jerk. Uh-huh. So the guy Joe had on was a guy called Jordan Peterson. Sorry. And while I don't listen to his stuff, I know he's like apparently a really good guy, a clever guy, but his fan following, like most of them, they're just such a culty circle jerk. And I went onto their subreddit, and one of the threads there was anime recommendations for Peter Jordanson fans, whatever his name was. It was one of the most Reddit threads I've ever read. And the best part was that in their sidebar, they had an IQ test. So you really
worthy of this subreddit?
Really? Yeah, someone pointed this out, and they could not fathom why that was funny.
Sorry, no sub-120s on this subreddit allowed.
That should be like a category on Netflix. It should get that specific.
So it's
if you enjoy Jordan Peterson, you might like Troll.
Oh, I thought you were talking about IQ test. Yeah,
if your
IQ is educated.
If your IQ is over 130, you might enjoy this.
I can tell you, I'm going to get shit just for getting his name wrong once or twice. His fan following is so rabid. He makes over 50,000 on Patreon a month.
Damn.
Good Lord.
Like, they worship this guy. And like I said, nothing against him personally. He seems like a nice guy. He uses the word postmodernism about 5 times per sentence. But damn, that fan following. Like, I wish I had that cult, man.
I mean, you could. For instance, only use me Blade for $50. I have a picture of him fingering his asshole. I just remembered when you brought up Patreon. This is disturbing.
I don't know.
2015.
Man. I don't feel like I'm ever going to see the threads that go like, anime recommendations for Kaya's fans with an IQ test. I don't see that happening.
That thread's just a trap to weed out people who like you and anime so they can kick them out of the fandom.
Well, that would leave no one.
Only a postmodernist could have cracked that code.
That thread was on fire analyzing why Hunter x Hunter was somehow this postmodern utopic dream that Jordan Peterson himself would have loved. This was like their bragging point is, yeah, this anime, he would have loved this. Yeah, because this rich brainiac professor would sit down and watch anime.
Hey, can you imagine the brilliance, though, if that was a trap?
Ooh, that'd be really smart, right. Yeah.
Maybe Jorgen himself put that up there to, like, get on all the fans. I don't know what his name is.
He's Scandinavian brother.
I don't know. I thought you said Jorgen.
His Klingon brother. Jorgen Con.
So Jordan and Jorgen, they put that up there so they could weed out their anime fans and blacklist them from their conventions.
Yeah. Jorgen Peterson is sick of getting messages because he's an ice fisherman. He's sick of getting all the Jordan Peterson.
Who is Jordan?
God, I want to be just rich like Joe.
I want to be Jordan Peterson.
Joe, if you're watching this, you're welcome to come on the podcast.
Send us money.
Open invitation. I'd like to segue into an actual question I've been curious about. So, Mr. Stark. Jesus.
Stark.
I didn't mean to call you Stark. I'm
there
sorry.
It is.
Stark.
Immediately fucked that up.
We're not getting any names wrong here.
God.
The official... Whatever.
Yeah, edit that out. Make sure I get it perfect. I was going to ask, though. Your
he
time
said
at
Stark.
Machinima...
He said Stark.
We were all there.
Yep.
I'll play it on repeat.
Thank you.
Exposed. Well, your time on Machinima Respawn. So Machinima's kind of become synonymous with, like, dog anus. Your experience with Machinima, like, an overall positive experience? Do you have mixed feelings about it? Like, do you have anything to...
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, so, like, Machinima Respawn, that era was, like, the end... Started right at the end of 2009. So I went over there from... Before then, I was working on X-Play, which was like a video game. Like,
I was going to ask
you
about
that.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up watching that show.
It was. It's funny. It's sort of like Dr. Disrespect, how he existed several years ago and was despised. And now it's like he's the toast of
really?
Twitch, right?
Yep, I remember that. He used to be on Machinima Respawn doing these... like pretty high production little gameplay things.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then he stopped doing that for a while because I think he got like a position with Infinity Ward designing maps or
yeah,
some shit like that.
Yeah,
he always have the role playing, like the get up.
Yeah, he always did the same character, same bits. Honestly, they were even more intense then. People like the people that enjoy him now would love his old shit because he took it even more serious. But you can't keep up an act like that.
Can't
doing
keep
like
up
a,
with the kids.
Oh, like a daily live stream or whatever, but
I
they
like
they hated him because they took it literal, and then and now he's big, and that's the parallel I was making was X-Play. Now, when you go back and watch X-Play, it's kind of campy and fun, but at the time, people just fucking hated it.
Yep,
and I see both sides, but after X-Play.
Doctor...
Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry, I wasn't trying to cut you off. Please.
Oh, okay. So anyway, to get to the question, after X-Play in 2009, Machinima was doing like, they were still doing like Red versus Blue and stuff like that. And gameplay commentary had started to sort of get going. I know Charlie remembers this because you were doing like montage and stuff even before that. But then like Blame Truth, Hutch, all these guys started doing commentary. And those videos started to get crazy views at the time, and Machinima wanted to spam the videos basically, but not mix it with their animation and stuff. So then they started Machinima Respawn, and they brought me in on the production side of things. So Machinima's hard to describe because there was so many moving parts, and it was like it was this combination of like people really trying to do something cool, and then like management not really understanding what the fuck was going on, and like for years and years, and then as it went, like a lot of neglect. So a lot of like the evil that Machinima is like really known for, like the contracts and everything. The reality, at least as far as I could tell, was less evil than most people think, and more like a disgusting absent-mindedness. Like they had, when they made the contracts, I don't think there was like an evil hand-wringing. I just think it was like really fucking basic contracts. And then there was never an evolution as times demanded change. And so then you cut to 3 years later and this thing, this like, you know, immovable statue of Machinima over time, it used to be revered, but you know, shit changes, and now people look at the statue and they're like, it's fucking, he is a slave owner, take him down, or whatever. They wanted to like rip that, you know, they hated it. And they, with good reason, but it was like, my whole thing with Machinima was, I had like a great time there, but it was also a lot of headbutting against management that just didn't have a clue. Like an example is we were in a meeting one time and they were the line I remember from the meeting was I asked him, I was like, do we really want to like, because at the time we were uploading to Respawn 35 videos a day. And I was like, I would rather, I was trying to pitch to them, like, let's reel that, like dial that way back. Let's do like 10, but pick, like select the good ones. And the management guy told me, he's like, I'd rather have 10 videos that do 10,000 views each than one video that does 100,000. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, I don't really speak your language at all. I think I don't understand that. So it was like,
that's
this.
That's why we do it smarter. We don't have management. No one knows what's going on at any given time. That kind of keeps it all running.
Well, that's like what it happened to me. Eventually I bailed and just do YouTube on my own. And there's
how
like
did that
been
go?
Good
how did
years.
The bailing process go?
Initially it was like financial free fall, like jump starting. And I owe a lot to like all the people who I'd kind of helped out in small ways during the Machinima days. They kind of rallied. So a lot of the like lifelong friends that I have and who like I still play games with, the Childs, the C-Nanners, the Hutches, all these guys.
You raised the banners. You went to war against Machinima.
No, I was not allowed to. I was legally not allowed to.
Against
his
contract, Jackson.
I just had to disappear and not say anything shady about Machinima for a while. Yeah.
He basically went into witness protection.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, they sound plenty evil to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if it's just disgusting incompetence. It does seem like some super villainy shit here.
Yeah. It's this weird stew. There's definitely some like real misguided shit in there, and then there's also like just not understand. Here's another example. We did way back in the day on Ustream. We did a max prestige stream for Black Ops 1, right? And at the time, like now, that sounds like we're gonna stream every day, all like 24 hours a day until we get max prestige. At the time. Now that sounds like whatever, and there's people that do it, several groups that do it. But at the time, that was like, even a 24-hour stream was kind of bananas. But we ended up streaming every day, all day, for nearly a month. And at the time, I remember I pitched it. I was like, I want to do this. They're like, no one's going to watch. No one gives a shit. It sounds incredibly boring. And I'm like, no, people will love this. It's like a... It's like a kind of a voyeuristic peek into, you know, whether you're awake in America at 3 a.m. and you want to see what's going on during the run at Machinima, or if that's like your lunch break in Europe. It's like people would love to like get that look in there. And they were like, well, we'll give you a week and, you know, and then we'll shut you down. But after 3 days of this in like this grind, and we're like exhausted and there's not enough people to care. So we're like pulling these long shifts and then having to double back and do graveyard runs and all this. We started getting all like the management started getting hit up. They're like, hey, Sark, Red Bull hit us up. They want to they really think this is cool. They want to send they're going to send us a bunch of stuff. Just put it in the back. You don't have to mention it. I'm like, OK, so. And within a week, it was like sponsored out the ass, and they were making money somewhere. We weren't making money, but somewhere it was like cha-ching. So it was like that kind. That's the kind of the struggle where it was like it wasn't evil, although that happens here and there, but definitely. But it was also just like this like wild misunderstanding of what people would be into watching.
You know? Sound like a battered wife. Just a bunch of misunderstandings. A bunch of he loves me's. He didn't really
Stockholm
mean it.
Syndrome.
You loved me.
It's because I have so many good memories of my Machinima time.
Yeah, so do the women.
Yeah. Jesus.
Women love Machinima. Wait, so what was... There's got to be something evil, something juicy you can throw us.
Andrew used to be held hostage by Machinima.
Something? I mean, so far from people, we've heard everything short of child sacrifice.
So that stuff, I'm not too familiar with a lot of, that was where I would say a lot of the darker shit happened on the, like, the partnership side. And I didn't have much to do with it, because it was, all we were, like, tasked to do was try and make Respawn cool, despite the fact that at every step they were trying to make it suck massive balls. So at one point they asked me, that they said, dude, we've got a huge ad campaign from Vagisil. Fucking Vagisil. And they wanted me to somehow work that into a Call of Duty strat talk. Like, shout out to our friends with all, with like scabs on their cooters.
Call of Duty and Vagisil, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Cereal and milk.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. It just ended up being for me like really banging my head on a wall as far as like creatively. And it right at the end, I fought tooth and nail for a year to start our own channel called Machinima Team Respawn, which I hated that name. Like, I just wanted to be called Team Respawn, but they had to stick Machinima in front of everything. And we just didn't have enough time to, like, I think it could have been interesting because it was, we were just, we were basically treating it like it was our personal channel, right? And I was like, dude, this could be dope. And sure enough.
I'm sorry, just in the last 10 minutes, you haven't said anything that could be taken as incompetence and just evil. I mean, I've not heard a single, yeah, and then, you know, whatever, Peter, he fucked up. He misnamed this file, and then that's why the contracts were so shitty. No, it's always just they wanted to fuck people over. They wanted to do it badly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was with the contract shit. That's where all that fucking... I would talk to some of the people in that department, specifically the people that had to make the calls and send those like emails like, I'm going to have to get back to... Probably the people that you had to go back and forth with, Andrew.
That was always
like,
interesting.
They're like marionettes underneath some like dark lord.
Satan's controlling them.
Yeah, it's fun now to go look at Machinima and be like, what the fuck is happening here now?
I did that. Yeah.
Are they not dead?
Yeah, what the fuck is happening there now?
They're doing kind of like what IGN does.
Right.
Well, not really. Actually, nothing like what IGN does. It looks like a Minecraft YouTuber's personal channel.
They
do two uploads a week, and it's just clickbaity shit.
I know what you're talking about, though. There's little news bites with like gaming news hosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I literally just went to machinima.com, and they have like a roll of videos in the background of their content. But the very first video, the very first one, is some dude bungee jumping off a bridge. I'm just wondering what this has to do with video games or Machinima.
Insane.
Or anything.
Fuck that off. Red Bull sponsorship.
It's
actually Vagisil.
So yeah, that was Vagisil's bungee jump. Jump into a cleaner vagina. Use Vagisil.
It's
the
not
bungee
a
rope represents the tampon.
Yeah. Yeah, they chuck a dude in a tampon, like an NBA mascot tampon suit off a bridge. Good enough.
That's what we do, Vagisil. I'm just saying, come sponsor us.
Yeah, Vagisil, if you need a new ad campaign,
if you're listening, come on the podcast and defend your vagina.
I remember I got strapped to the head of another one. They were like, do you remember when like Call of Duty Activision started, it was I think it was called COD Elite. It was like their website.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh
yeah. Remember that,
Call of Duty Elite. Yeah.
So they started.
It was a
that.
Subscription thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like $25 a month or a year or something. It was not worth it at all. It was
no. All it was was they were aping at what at the time was what Bungie.net did for Halo. So you could like get like all your stats, everything there, but you could also like get replays, and it was just a real in-depth like stat site. That's really all it was. They were like trying to do like what Bungie did for Halo, but that's Bungie all it is. So then they hit up our group. And so what happens is Machinima is divided into all these groups. So we were production. There's like programming and there's like marketing and whatever. And we were like the tip of the spear on Respawn for all this stuff, because they were just like, those dudes are crazy. Anything will fit in with what they do. So everything would come our way. And somewhere, I would like to see at some point what the communication was like, because like Vagisil would call marketing, and marketing would talk to somebody above us, And nowhere along there would any red flags be waved. It would just be like, whoosh, through the pneumatic tube, like right to us. And they did this with COD Elite, where they were like, we want 7 episodes showing, like it's a promotion, but it's showing how you use the site. And I'm like, dude, that's an hour of content. And you can just go to the site. And it's like saying, like, how to use Wikipedia. And it's like, you type in what you want, and it fucking appears. But they wanted 7 episodes.
Yeah, then you might need a tutorial.
So then it was like, this is what's their pitch. We'll put an army helmet on you, and then you can be Sergeant Sark, and you can tell everyone what's up. And I was like, I told Hutch.
So topical.
Yeah, I told Hutch and Nanners, I'm like, stay away from this, you guys. You still have audiences that respect you. I'll take this. And so I just did these like solo, and I shot them all at once. And I'm sure they're still on there somewhere, but you can just look into my eyes. And if you look close, you can see me envisioning myself jumping off of a short like stool and then hanging until I can't, like from a ceiling fan, just...
I love
Dude,
that.
That's so heroic of Sergeant Stark.
Yeah.
Stark. It was Stark, wasn't it? Sergeant Stark?
That's right. Yep. Or Mrs. Sergeant Ark. Shark. You could do Mrs. Ark. I've gotten that one, which I think is really literate.
I love that idea from management. Oh, okay. So they won't like it. Put an army hat on them. Kids love army hats.
They won't even be able to tell.
Mr. Sark is too old school. We need Sergeant Sark to toughen this shit up.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
Today they'd give you a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
No, they absolutely would. You make a joke, but no, that's that is absolutely what they would do.
Yeah. Yeah. They would do whole ads dedicated to a Chinese fidget spinner knockoff brand called like Spinzy Doodle or something, and they'd be like, "Do 3 episodes showing how to use the Spinzy Doodle and wear one of those fucking propeller hats. You're going to be good."
If you're struggling for material, put the Harmy helmet back on.
The propeller hats need to make a comeback.
They're so beautiful.
Little beanies for kids. I love those.
Yeah, it's an old school cartoon reference right there. It's beautiful.
So great. So, Mr. Sark, I want to kind of backpedal a little bit and talk about X-Play and G4 because I grew up as a rabid fan of that fucking show, being the little baby boy that I was. I loved that every single day after school. But from what I've heard and what I've read there, and I could be totally wrong, but there was a lot of kind of dystopia and unrest and a lot of petty bullshit behind the scenes at G4. I was wondering if you had any comments on that or any interesting stories you could tell us.
A lot of it. Well, secrets? Yeah, I mean, a lot of that also happened on a corporate level. So it was like in show, not so much, I guess, like the usual like beefs that people would have when they just work together every day. But the real like shit show happened. It was just the same as Machinima. Like G4, the network, was a disaster. They're like run by like some coke fiends. And they're like, yeah, you fucking have millions, like start a gaming chic channel or whatever. They're like, that's why Attack of the Show and X-Play never got canceled, but they always tried like to do new shows. So it was like, do you remember?
Oh, I remember Cops. Hurl?
Do you remember Hurl?
Oh, yeah. Where they had to eat like mac and cheese and sushi and then get on amusement park rides.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah. So that was it. It's an eating contest followed by something that's designed to make you throw up. But the throw up was censored. So I was like, who the fuck is going to watch this? You're making like most of the people don't want to watch a vomit show. And the small number of people that you think like you hope will watch, you're censoring the puke. You've designed a show for zero people. And when it came out, the rating for the show was a zero, which means like less than 1,000 people in the country like watch this thing. It was like the most colossal failure I've ever heard of on any like cable or network show. Like
Does it
nobody
help if
watched
I watched it.
It.
because I remember it.
Well, that I, no, you should well, get like a real life achievement
I
or
think,
something.
Well, yeah, I think there was an episode. I think that what they tried, the announcers tried to play it like as two parallel worlds colliding. Like I remember one episode, everyone had to eat mac and cheese, and they were like, look at that gourmet mac and cheese, five different cheese blends in there, all that filling, delicious pasta. And like they hype up the food.
It's a show for foodies.
Yeah, but no, after they hype up the food, they're like, oh, we're going to put them on the tilt-a-whirl. I can't wait to see that cheese flying through the air with their mucousy gunk membranes. And like,
oh,
and
never
they instantly ruined everything.
It's
they
a show
up.
For nobody. Do you remember X-Arm?
X-Arms?
Again, yeah, again, some like, I think he must have been Russian mafia or something, but he tried to make arm wrestling where you're tied to the post and then you can punch each other.
I don't remember that.
Zarm! I love Zarm!
Yeah. That went away real quick.
I do not remember.
Because it always just ended with somebody. There was never any cool striking. I mean, they very rarely, and they put all of it into the teasers for the show, but then it always ended with just somebody holding on with all their weight, lifting their feet up, so their big, like, blubbery, like, bar-fighting body is just pulling his arm down, and they win through this, like, stupid arm-wrestling pin. While the other dude's awkwardly like hammer fisting their face, but ineffectively, and that was it the whole time. But the trailer was like, these dudes are gonna murder each other. And I was like, no, they're just gonna like flop around like fuck like fatties.
It's if you haven't seen Zarm, X-Arm, I encourage you to watch some highlights. Mr. Sark is doing it a great injustice with this description. It's fucking fantastic.
So wow. I guess it could fall under so bad it's good, but that was not how it was marketed. They were marketing it like, step aside, UFC. It's like, oh my God.
It had potential. If you got some real Zarmers in there, I think it could have taken off.
Yeah. If they're offhand, if each of them had a cast iron pan, now we're fucking talking.
Bring weapons into the equation.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Or well, the post slowly raises until they're both hanging there like they've been hung out to like dry, just meat to dry. And they're swinging and batting at each other in the sea. Like some little twist, but.
Yeah, some very dangerous and ridiculous twist. Yeah.
Make a good TV show instead of that.
Right. Yeah. Or it
spins. I think it's great.
So then they just end up spinning like a fat human helicopter. And whoever's rope breaks first loses. Fucking X-Arm. That was most of the strife at G4 was like that stuff.
Okay.
It was like, what the fuck? And then what's funny is Comcast, the parent company, with actual like real ballers at the top. They're like some East Coast family. I don't know. But it's like they would talk about them like waking up and G4 had to look beyond point or whatever. And every now and then it was like the Comcast Eye of Sauron would be like, whoa, and pan past us. And we'd be like, fuck, everybody do your best shit or whatever. And it was like you got to impress the Mr. and Mrs. Comcast or they're going to axe the entire channel. So they eventually did. And then it sort of like limped back. I don't know what G4 is. G4 back now in some like.
I know Attack of the Show is now a Twitch stream.
You're kidding me.
The whole show is now. They have like two new hosts and they do it as a Twitch stream. I don't know if they're still calling it Attack of the Show, but I know the whole format and everything is there as a stream.
Yeah, if it's not Kevin Pereira, I always thought he was a good host for that show. And he carried it pretty well, but he also like handled all the arm candy that they would put as his co-hosts. You know, Olivia Munn was like there for ages, but when she left, it became like Playboy bunnies. And I thought Pereira like carried it all right. If he's not in it, fuck it.
So what about X-Play specifically? Are there any things that people might not know about that show or any behind the scenes with that?
It was, I mean, a lot of the like people, there was always like these suspicions, like it was some deep, dark secret that Sessler and Morgan didn't play games. And that was always like, it was true and false. They played, they had games they enjoyed, but, it wasn't like they were like playing a lot of the new shit. You know what I mean? Like they loved Ratchet and Clank, right? Which is a good game, but It's like if XPlay was running now, anything with like PUBG or Overwatch or something like that, there would probably be producers like Ghost playing, you know, for them, which is kind of where like my whole, I was a PA on that show and I pitched a segment where I was like, we interact with the fans. So this would have been, I don't know, 2007 or six. But I was like, dude, well, let's get people in and we'll do, I want to actually do this on my channel now, but where you do like large scale stunts, antics, you know, whatever, that you wouldn't normally be able to coordinate.
You just said the magic word, PUBG stunts. I'm sorry, I've already cornered that market, man.
You're
barking up the wrong tree over here with stunts and PUBG.
I'm going to your channel now.
Anyway. Oh, it's not there. It's on our Twitch.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I wanted to do
the official channel on twitch.tv is where you can see it. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, we did, like, I just pitched them that we do this and that, you know, people would love to interact with Sessler and Morgan, and they were like, they'll never go for it. Like, the executive producer was like, they're not going to want to like sully their hands with the plebs. And I was like, that's a shame. And he's like, why don't you do it? And I'm like, I have never aspired to be on like a quote unquote on camera, like a personality. I moved to LA like pre-XPlay to get into production and work in like film and TV and tell my stories and all that. I just fell into, through the production, you know, circus. I ended up at XPlay, and then from there the lean through video game media sort of is where I've ended up. But XPlay is also where they were like, yeah, you just do it, you're funny. And so then I ended up having to be like put on camera as this side host, and I think people at the time kind of resented it. They're like, who the fuck is this dipshit? And I'd be like, hey guys, this week on Killzone Fun or whatever.
I put on my American Army helmet.
I did
I did a couple things
that were like, I'm really proud of. Then there was this thing called the Sarcathlon where I would make custom Halo maps in Forge. Ooh. And then I ran actual like challenges, and Bungie was so into it that, do you guys remember, like, they had flaming helmet recon armor?
Yeah.
It was like the tits, right? And it was Bungie staff recon only. So the only flaming recon armor, the suit that they put out there that wasn't staff, was a grand prize in the Sarcathlon. I'm still like psyched on that. But so some random dude out there has like
flaming. Well, they eventually gave it all away to people who pre-ordered the next game or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate
thing. Thus entirely devaluing it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
They pretty much just gave it away in the Happy Meals.
Well, never mind.
With every purchase of a Vagisil, you get flaming recon armor.
Yeah, cut to like 2 years later.
Just use promo code Mr. Sark at Vagisil.com.
That's right. Is your puss on fire? Why not match it with our new recon helmet?
Oh, wait, shit. Jackson, we have a sponsor this week. It's Vagisil.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been doing the entire episode. They got free ads from us.
Free ads.
Yeah.
Vagisil, reach out to us. You have to pay for that shit.
We're not pro bono.
We're sending the check.
I know you guys like want dirt. I just don't have that. I honestly don't have that much dirt. Like,
oh, there's gonna be something dirty somewhere in your life, please.
I mean, even then,
we need dirt.
I mean, okay. So this is also a callback, but I did jerk off under my desk at G4 once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was late. I was working on the Halo 3 launch, which involved me being up, by the way, for a personal record of 80 straight hours.
Damn.
And in the middle of it, I was like, could I? I think I could. And then, I was like, it just was a diluted fever crank. It's partly daring myself and partly because I felt like I might die if I didn't.
Did anyone help?
No.
Oh.
Somebody walked
by. The whole team.
But I had my chair pulled up, and then the power supply and all the cords were hanging like a bead curtain in an old, like, hippie drugged in. I was back there just beating it under the desk.
Somewhere out there, Kevin Pereira is listening
fault.
To this.
You guys, you started the jerk off like mind train. I can't get off this track right now.
Somewhere out there, there's a G4 intern listening to this, and he goes, "I fucking knew it."
Yeah,
I knew it.
No wonder when I turn the black light on under my desk, it says Sark was here.
You have really good aim.
Yeah, that's precision. Yeah.
Hey, he can just draw it with his hands. He can just shoot the light into his fingers. And
like finger painting, like a 4-year-old.
Or you hold up a stencil and you just blast it all in one shot.
It's even better.
The comp stencil for such an occasion.
Graffiti tagging his work.
Yeah, has anybody ever done that? Made black light patterns using like nut and stencils.
I'm sure
I have. I don't have a black light though, so I can't tell.
I just eyeball it.
That's fucking genius.
Well, yeah. Charlie, I think it's time for your question.
Oh, I had a question in the beginning. Yeah, I don't remember it now. Are you a fan of sports though?
I remember it.
Do you like the old ball games?
Casual.
Do you want me to bring up your question, Charlie?
My question? Yeah, bring it up, because I don't remember it.
All right, here was Charlie's question. Sark, what's with the Fight Club?
Oh, Fight Club, that's right.
That's some shit from Inbox, right? Is that where how did you hear about Fight Club?
The YouTube wiki.
Yeah, the wiki.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? Hold on.
It says you got kicked really hard in the chest and that your eyeballs bubbled for a month or something.
See, this shit is like... It's so like 10% true and then 90% like a 13-year-old trying to write an essay.
So what you're saying is you're a white supremacist.
Yeah, I had
the
Fight Club.
The rumors are true.
Yep. This was after Fight Club came out, like my roommate who was fucking insane, we're like, yeah, let's do that. We'll have people over and we'll fight. It made no sense. It still makes no sense, but it's a lot of good memories. So we started having people over. He worked. I was waiting tables at Olive Garden in Carlsbad, California. He was a graveyard shift guy at 7-Eleven, and he would ask random people if they wanted to fight. And so then after his shift, he and like 3 or 4 random people would come over, and we had it wasn't like full on bare knuckle. We had like the smaller fight gloves, like the
MMA
gloves. Like
did you use your sock'em boppers?
No, we had like MMA gloves, and then we actually bought a bunch of unboiled like mouthpieces because we didn't want to like. So it's sort of like
no damage.
Yeah, but you still got well. I mean, that's how it started. Cut to like maybe 2 months later, and people are like starting to hear about this from people who are not obeying the goddamn fucking first and second rule, but. Our like living room was full, and I have some video of when I got kicked. But it grew it over the several months. It grew out of our living room to back to the 7-Eleven where we were doing it in a fast furious style ring of cars with headlights on, and then the police would come. And the police came, and they were so, because a lot of the people who we were fighting, so every evening, Josh, my roommate, and I would fight first and last, and then we would pick somebody. So after our first fight, each of us would randomly pick somebody, and then it would just go from there. But the police came, and they saw that a lot of the people in the circle, so at this point, we're up to like 40 people strong, and they saw that it was a lot of like gang members. But one of our rules was he had to hug after the fight, right? So there was like all this weird like man love going on, and the police were like, "Holy shit, this is pretty dope." So they would park, like a cop would park, and sort of like chaperone, but also be into it, because it's like all these ne'er-do-wells at 4 a.m. are just beating the shit out of each other rather than robbing houses or whatever. And then it finally eventually got like the boot because Josh's manager looked on the security footage and he saw what looked like, like a fucking heavy metal concert going on outside by the gas station. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing, Josh?" So we had to shut it down.
That is so fucking cool.
And that's how Machinima Respawn was formed.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize that Tyler isn't real?
Yeah, your friend at 7-Eleven wasn't real.
It happened at like later on. When, like, probably 3 weeks before it got shut down, at that point, like the caliber of people showing up was actually turning into fighters. So it wasn't just like Marines and gang members that were all there to like be tough. It was like people who are showing up. Like the dude who showed up and who kicked me, he looked just like Sagat from Street Fighter. He had his shins taped. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't want to do this. They're like, you got picked. I'm like, oh my God. And I remember, we had music on a boombox. I forget what was playing, some fucking techno shit. And Josh is like, he's already had his ass kicked. His face is all jacked. He's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, go. And I remember the guy looking at me and he had his hands up and he was doing like a Street Fighter idol animation. And I remember thinking, okay, what the fuck am I going to do here? And then it was like time froze and he never took his eyes off me. But suddenly I see like right next to my cheek, his heel, like his body had twisted beneath his head. Like, and I stared into the hypnotic gaze and I never saw the foot coming. And he'd done some fucked up spin. And I was like, oh my God. And he kicked me in the cheek. And
it's not straight legal.
Yeah, it was that's bullshit. The rules. He fucking knocked me out so hard. I was out for like 20 seconds. That was the one time I invited my now wife, then girlfriend to come. And she just sees me get annihilated by Sagat.
Starts making out with him.
So my face swelled up. And yeah, like the story I told on Inbox, which is where they're getting it on the wiki, is like the... What would happen is anytime I exhaled or laughed or anything where like the pressure would go up in my sinuses, bubbles would come out of my fucking tear duct. So if I sneeze came out of my fucking eye. My head was so swollen.
Oh my God. Mr. Sark, I want to let you know, without exaggeration, you have told the best story we've had on this podcast.
Oh, that is the bar none, hands down.
That is awesome.
Story.
It's fun.
That sounds like it could be a movie.
Yeah, like called Fight Club or something.
I highly recommend without doing any bare knuckle stuff, but I highly recommend at some point, like fighting a friend.
Yes, Charlie, yeah. I've told you this like 100 times.
Andrew brings this up pretty often. Yeah. About how we should fight.
We should just fight.
It's hard to describe. And one of the things we always did with our fight club is we cheered for the underdog or whoever was losing, but it's hard to describe. You actually do, It like strengthens something. It's weird. It's fucking bizarre, but I highly recommend giving it a try.
When that big bull knocked you out and stole your wife's heart, did he just like slump over you and hug you still when you were unconscious?
Dude, I don't know. All I saw was a fucking 360 degree rainbow and then a white sheet like I was floating in milk. And then I saw her face and she was looking at me. And she was really concerned, and she says, "You fucking idiot!" And I'm like, I had no idea what happened, dude. As soon as his foot hit, I was out. And then she was like, because she told me, she's like, "I don't want to come. It's like too brutal." And
so, did he go on to win the Iron Fist tournament or something?
No, because there's no winning or losing. All that happened was as soon as I
think you lost. No,
yeah,
you lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess. Yeah, there was a loser that night, definitely. But all that happened is they brought me back up to my feet and I groggily pointed out whoever was going to go next in my place and he picked somebody and that was it.
Your turn to lose.
Please get your ass kicked harder than I did.
You should have pointed to the guy who just fought you.
After he fights, no matter what, it's not like an elimination thing. He had to pick somebody else. So it was just two random people. Yeah. The lesson is don't ever fight someone who's wearing something like you've seen in a popular fighting game.
Because they look like Sagat, they're probably Sagat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that just sounds like a dick move. There's a reason weight classes exist and all that stuff.
I know.
Maybe don't match up with professionals. So it's just like an asshole move.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not in good spirit. Like, if I had a friend who was like, 50 pounds lighter than me and had much less experience and I was like Mike Tyson, I don't get to fight him. That's not fair.
It's true. He could have gone a little easier on me. He tried to end my life. Yeah. That fucker.
He's definitely showing off to your wife.
Yeah, you know what? I'm getting pissed now.
Yeah, he tried to chat on you hard. Wow. Hit him up. Sagat, if you're out there, we want a rematch.
Yeah. Well,
you might not
know,
it's called getting amogged, and you got hit hard.
That's right. It's you standing in the middle of the street, and then I duct tape a boxing glove to the front of my Scion, and then I'm just going to run over you. That's the equivalent of what happened to me. You're right, Kaya. Fuck that.
Pretty much. Rematch.
10 years later.
After all this dormant anger, finally.
We're bringing back those repressed memories for you.
It's time for Fight Club V2.
Yeah. Oh my God. Finally, you'll get to beat him. His wife now.
Yeah.
Train up.
Yeah.
Go ahead and start handing out flyers again and shit. Build it up. He'll come.
Yeah. When he shows up, tape up your shin and roundhouse kick him in the head.
That's right. When the countdown 3, 2, 1, I'm just going to do a blow dart with some like fucking numbing agent.
Joke's on you. He planned to kick you at 3.
God damn it. It's a god. Yeah.
He's probably a scrawny homeless man now.
Yeah.
That was the peak of his life.
Oh, God. I love you guys. You made me feel worse, and now you're making me feel bad. This is like, great.
Yeah, let's fight.
Yeah, we should all fight.
Yeah,
I'd fight. I'd absolutely fight.
Yeah, then hug.
Then fight again.
Good sports about it.
Is there like a correlation between like you losing that fight in front of your love and you having to suck your own dick? Is that like your version of sleeping on the couch?
She wouldn't bang him afterwards at all, ever again.
You know how fucked up that would be if for some reason, yeah, because that was like, that would be like, fuck, 20, that's like 20 years ago. Can you imagine how fucked up that would be if I was still holding on to Sagat kicking me in the head and 20 years later I'm trying to suck my own dick?
You're imagining it's him.
He kicked me in my brain, my soul.
Sometimes when he's going to bed, he faintly hears tiger.
Yeah. Every time I see a rainbow, I just like a narcoleptic. I just fall asleep.
His wife just screams his name.
Fucking idiot.
Oh, shit.
That's fucking awesome.
That was a
doozy. That's a great story. That is an awesome fucking story.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It went on months and months. People don't really believe this. They think like it's embellished, but it's like it just naturally grew into a thing that
I don't
was
get that. I don't
bananas.
Get why some people they're so eager to call out stories that make people look like losers. That happens to us all the time because we always have these stories that make us look bad. And there will always be someone like, "Nah, that's a lie. Andrew didn't really get rejected by that girl. Why is he even telling the story?"
You know what it is? It's because we're in a culture of like story time streamer YouTuber that like are constantly telling these little self tales that are all bullshit. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's
but
like
I think that's a good point. Disconnect, you know, but because when you do mean it for it to be a joke, everyone will go, "No, he's serious. He really is a Nazi." But when you tell an actual story, no one will believe you for some reason. That's the weird part.
Yeah. If there's any nuance in the delivery, people are going to just miss it.
For what it's worth, I believe. Guys. Yeah, I believe you got your ass absolutely demolished that night.
I mean, no mincing words. I do think you're a white supremacist, so I think we're all good.
All bases covered.
Can we hug, Sock?
That's right.
I feel like a hug after this hour-long fight.
Yeah, it feels like a hug.
Yeah, I want a hug. I need a hug.
Oh, what would you do? Cosplayer. Honest to God, what would you do if you were like chilling out in your own house and there's a ring at your doorbell and standing there with an apology get well soon card is Sagat himself?
Aw.
For real?
I was going to say like...
Yeah, the guy who kicked you, you know it's him and he's come to make amends. How would you treat that scenario?
He's been holding on to it for 20 years.
Yeah, he's felt guilty. He was like, I think I killed that man.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, I wanted to fight, not murder.
Because he
tracked
his, like,
you down through your COD
he
elite
just kicked
army.
Me and did like a flying knee backwards through the crowd and never checked to see what the results of the kick were. He just
as soon as you're bleeding from your eyes, he goes, "My job is done," and flies away.
If I opened my door and saw that, like, no joke, honestly, I'd probably slam the door in his face. Wait to see what he did. I'd be ready to like, "Oh, the cops, honey! Sagat's here!" I'd like to say I'd want to stand there and be like, "So what the fuck?
He's come to finish the job.
Yeah. I can't blame you. I don't know what I would do in that position. Like, I thought, Andrew, I thought initially you were going to say, like, he's back for round 2 to kick your ass again for some reason.
That would be my immediate assumption.
if he was like apologetic. I don't know. I don't think I'd like try to get revenge, like stab him or anything. But I think I also couldn't let go, so I would get some sort of petty revenge, like coming in his coffee or something.
Jesus,
being it like, could yeah, immediately turn into some, like sort of like a really like homoerotic. Like sort of shuffling and like awkward eye contact and being like, so are you still fighting or? Yeah,
you turned me gay that day.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that night with us though. Yo,
knocked the straight right
Thanks
out of me.
Thanks for saying that, man.
By the way, how do you like your coffee?
Yeah.
With a bulge in your pants, you take that tent to the kitchen.
My barista Kaya has whipped up something delightful, a playful little blend.
Fuck me.
This episode has been going long enough. We can
surprise. Only 3 more hours.
We fooled you. Damn it. Gotcha. It's 4 hours edited down.
Sark, if you'd like to join us for an extra 20 minutes after this, though, we do a little post show where it's just 20 minutes more chatting. For our patrons, if you want to join us for that, that'd be cool.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Which you can get for just $1 at patreon.com /theofficialpodcast. By the way,
it's a fucking dollar.
It turns out Patreon has categories, and we used to be in comedy, and we were in the top 3.
Really?
On Patreon. I decided, you know what, that ain't good enough. I switched us over to podcasts in the category because, you know, it doesn't really matter. We can always switch back and still enter the top 3. And I think we should be in the top 20 in the podcasting now.
Oh, damn. That's really? Dope.
So I think we should. Well, yeah, but you know, now we can fight in our own weight class. Unlike that asshole Sagat, we'll be up against podcasters. We can dethrone him. I believe in us.
We're coming for you, Joe Rogan.
Hell yeah! Well, he's not on there. He's a millionaire, but
eventually, Joe Rogan.
He
give
doesn't
some
need
time.
Patreon.
Tiger uppercut.
Holy fuck!
Jesus. I like that.
Mr. Sark fell into a different dimension as he left.
Yeah, just really recreated his scene that day.
For those of you listening to the podcast, that was not Jackson's edit. That was just Mr. Sark doing that with his mouth.
Was it, or did you use a...
No, I had like a voice thing. But.
Shh, don't ruin the magic.
That's what I thought
that was his. I thought that was his mouth as well at first. I was extremely impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can tell a good reverb apart, but it's still a really good...
I know that tiger uppercut anywhere.
God damn it.
What
you
else
forgot
do we
that you're a fucking idiot.
What else do we need to plug, Kaya? What else do we need to plug real quick? Before we
I don't
end.
Know, babe, plug my asshole. I don't know.
Buy a fucking t-shirt
note,
if you want it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We've got merchandise. I'll put that on the screen now. We've got a lot of links in the description. You can go find out. Oh, the Twitch. We've got Twitch TV.
Oh, I know what we need. Jackson, I know what we need to plug. I know what we need to plug.
What?
Mr. Sark, do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to plug any of our stuff?
Yeah. Go be a patron of the official podcast. Yeah. 20th on the list is bullshit. They should be at least fucking at least first.
Ooh. Yeah, at the very least. Yeah.
On the outside.
Recommendation.
No. People are always like, where can I find your blank? It's like, just fucking type in Mr. Sink and then whatever you want to see.
Type in Mr. Sark, and if you can't spell that, type the guy who got tiger need. You'll find it.
Yeah. Got hit with the old rainbow kick.
Just type in Fight Club. He's the one with the six pack.
Yeah, draw like MS painted on. You know what? I want to thank Kaya. I listened to your guys, like I was telling you, I did some homework before this. So I know it's like, I don't know, like what fucked up European country you're in right now, but I know it's super early. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's
that was
not
super
European.
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even Charlie ever says that.
For a dude who were really. Like, you were probably like, oh, God, who is this Mr. Sock?
What time is it? Yeah, it's half past 4 a.m. But thank
you're a
you.
You're
that,
a
that is so kind of you to notice. Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's kind enough of you to even know my name. That's impressive enough. I mean, usually people are like, hey, Critical, I'm a big fan. And you dorks.
Yeah, there's a small handful of, you know, Charlie, if you ever want to hang out, you're welcome to contact me after the podcast. And then that's it. Then they're gone.
They don't even say bye to us.
Exactly.
We're like Charlie Zoompa Loompas. No one cares.
It's like the words to a really shitty teleportation spell. Hey, Charlie, if you ever want to hang out, hit me up.
Just disappear.
Vanish.
Gone. Like this episode Forever. Should be.
Oh, yeah. And it's going right to Patreon. See us over there for $1 a month.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Come on. Shout out to Gumballs that cost more.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Shout outs to people still using iTunes for some reason. Goodbye.
Oh, see you next week. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you.
Okay, see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Remember to buy Vagisil.
Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.